Let's look to the book of John, chapter 9, the last three verses of John chapter 9 and the first six verses of John chapter 10, and we'll be looking at Jesus the Good Shepherd. I think chapter 10 in the book of John is going to be extremely rewarding for us because we're going to learn something that will help us to have more gratitude and love in our hearts for our Savior, Jesus Christ, because we'll be looking at Him for the next three Sundays, perhaps, as the Good Shepherd and what the Good Shepherd does. And I think this will encourage you because it surely did me as I studied these verses of Scripture. Look at verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." The epic of the blind man being healed concludes with this man believing in Jesus Christ, or, as we say many times, in his being saved. Jesus found this man who had been healed of his physical blindness after he had been cast out of the synagogue. And when Jesus found this man healed of his blindness and yet purged or cast out of the synagogue, the Bible tells us that Jesus challenged him. And he asked him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" The healed man asked for identification. He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And then Jesus told him plainly, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." No abstractions here. Positive identification of himself as being the person who is the Son of God. Then this man who had been healed of his blindness believed and worshiped. The Bible tells us that he said, "Lord, I believe." And we understand the word that's translated "believe" means that I look at you. It implies looking at the object. I look at you and I believe into you. My belief in you is so strong that I cast myself into whatever it is you propose for my well-being. So this man, no doubt, was healed, for was not only healed, but he was also saved. And the Bible tells us that he worshiped Jesus. And then Jesus said in verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world." And many times when we look at the word judgment, we think of a court scene where a judge is sitting and there are jurors or there are people in the courtroom, and he listens to evidence, he listens to arguments, and then he makes a decision. But the word that's translated judgment means to separate, or in this case, it means that which comes from judgment, the decisions that come from people making a choice. And Jesus said, "I am come into this world for judgment." Now notice, the purpose of the judgment is that they I have come into this world, into this present circumstance, in order to make a distinction, to arrive at decision, or cause others to arrive at decisions, to see sentence pronounced, to see people pronounce the decisions that they have made. And why did Jesus come? To encourage people to make a decision. Well, notice, that they which see not might see. Now, Jesus is relating this to these people who have seen a blind man healed instantly. And so he's saying, I have come to cause people to make decisions. And the people that make decisions are going to be those who are spiritually blind and who have their spiritual eyes opened and who see me as the promised Messiah, who see me as the anointed one, and they which see might be made blind. Now that seems harsh. It seems out of character. But what Jesus is saying is that he came to present himself to Israel as the Son of God. Some would believe and some would not believe. This would cause a separation or a division in the nation of Israel. In fact, if you'll look at John chapter 10, verse 19, you'll see that this is happening. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. Jesus, by what he teaches concerning himself, causes people to make judgments. And these judgments are then manifest in their attitude toward Jesus Christ. The people who were blind and didn't see, their eyes are opened and now they see. But the people who were saying, we see, we understand, we know, they become even more blind so that they never understand that Jesus is the Son of God. So Jesus doesn't make people blind, but people are blind, as we'll learn a little later, because they refuse to see. And I think that's a distinction we really need to make. When Jesus said, I have come to set myself before you as the Messiah, as the Son of God, make your decisions, weigh the evidence, make your decisions, because blind people are going to see, and seeing people are going to become blind to the evidence that I present to them, such as the evidence of the healed, of the blind man healed. Some people saw it as a work of God, and they believed into Jesus Christ. These people saw it and denied it and said he does it by the power of Satan. Or maybe the man wasn't blind to begin with. They have all kinds of excuses to make so they don't have to commit themselves to Jesus as the Son of God, as the Messiah, the one promised of God. The Pharisees reacted to what Jesus spoke to them in a very cynical way. The Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? We are the spiritual teachers of Israel. And I think that Jesus understands their attitude and that they are really saying, we are not blind. We are the spiritual shepherds of Israel. We are the ones who are here to care for the sheep of God. We're not blind like this man was blind. We're not spiritually blind. We see. We know what we're talking about. We know that we have a reason for what we believe and that we don't accept you as the Messiah. Jesus said, if you were blind, you would feel no sin. Now, when you look at that, you have to understand what sin causes. Sin causes guilt. So I think really Jesus is saying if you were blind, that is, if you didn't comprehend at all what's going on, you wouldn't feel any guilt. There wouldn't be any emotion at all. But you're feeling something because you're getting angry at me. You would like to stone me to death. So there is within you a feeling of guilt. But Jesus said, but since you claim to have sight, your sin remains. That is, since you claim that you see, then the guilt that comes from the sin of rejecting me is still with you. You haven't lost it. And then the Bible tells us that they then listen to Jesus as he begins to teach them concerning the Good Shepherd. Now, as we look at these verses of Scripture, you have to understand that Jesus, first of all, in the first six verses, presents himself as the Good Shepherd in that he enters into the nation of Israel in the lawful and prescribed way. And then he presents himself as the door to the sheepfold. And then he presents himself as the Good Shepherd. So we have a number of applications of the sheep and shepherd relationship and the sheep circumstances or animal husbandry that were prevalent during the days when Jesus was upon this earth. Jesus said, as he began to teach them, that there are people who believe themselves to be shepherds who are really thieves and robbers. Verily, verily, that is certainly, certainly, or surely, surely, or even the word transliterated is amen, amen. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, as we look at the sheep folds that are created out in the wasteland or out in the grazing land, they are generally temporary. That is, they are made out of stones that are picked up and stacked on top of one another, usually perhaps in some small ravine where it's the washes are considered to be the sides on either side, and rocks are laid in the other area like building a dam, and then a little entrance way is left. But there were other folds. There were places that were more permanent. And Jesus is saying that when it comes to coming into the fold, there are some who are thieves and robbers, and they do not enter by the door. They climb up some other way. Now, many times people believe that this sheepfold here represents salvation, or this sheepfold here represents heaven, or this sheepfold here represents a church. Many, many people have declared that this is what this parable that Jesus spoke really teaches. But you cannot say that, because the thief and the robber get into the sheepfold. And you can't say that thieves and robbers get into salvation by coming away or going or finding a way other than by the shepherd. If it's heaven, we're saying that people can get into heaven who didn't come by Jesus Christ. That they some way slipped into heaven. They climbed into heaven, but they didn't go the right way. And we know that can't happen. There'll not be anybody in heaven who didn't come by Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about the church. We're not talking about heaven. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about the way the shepherd came to Israel. Israel were the sheep of God. David had said earlier, the Lord is my shepherd. And so these people well understood the figure of speech, the metaphor, that God was their shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And I'll explain that a little bit later And I believe you'll understand what he meant by that. The word good here is not just good in the sense of without sin or kindness. It has in it the idea, the perfection of a particular circumstance. Jesus is saying when the statement is made, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the perfect shepherd. I am the beautiful shepherd. I am the shepherd who gets the things done that need to be done. So in verse 1, don't think that the subject that Jesus is dealing with here is the church or heaven or salvation. It certainly isn't. It has to do with how the Messiah came to Israel. Did he follow the prophecies of Isaiah? Did he follow the prophecies of Malachi? Did he follow the prophecies of Ezekiel? Did he follow the types that had been presented in the sacrifices? Did he follow all of the laid out paths that the Bible said Messiah would follow? Now look at this. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus said, I have followed the legitimate paths, and I am going to enter into the sheep as the shepherd, because I am going to enter in by the way of the door. Now, when you think about the word door, then we think about that which swings on hinges and separates rooms, the kitchen from the bedroom or whatever. Jesus is saying, I am the entrance. Okay? I am the means of access. Think of it that way. Some even say opportunity. But I think it can literally be translated, I am the means of access. Just as the sheepfold is accessed by going through the entrance, through the gap, if you please, that is left for the sheep and the shepherd to enter in and out. Jesus said, I'm not a thief and I'm not a robber. I didn't climb over the wall. I have come in a legitimate fashion. I enter in by the door. And this is the shepherd of the sheep. The Bible tells us in verse 3 that to him the porter openeth. The porter is the keeper of a small door within a larger. And I'm sure you're familiar with the idea that was expressed when Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, this is what we're talking about here, what some called the thread needle. The big, big doors that went into a city were closed at dark. And then a tiny door within this large gate or large door was guarded by one person. And he knew people's voice. And you had to get down on your hands and knees, and you had to put your sword or whatever it was, you had to lay it down and put it through the little door first. And then you had to crawl through. That way you were not a threat. So Jesus said, to him the porter openeth. Some have said that the porter here is representing John the Baptist. Well, if that's true, it certainly will make sense, because John the Baptist identified Jesus Christ, did he not? And said, behold what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And John the Baptist didn't identify half a dozen people as the shepherd of the sheep of Israel. He identified one man and said, he is the Lamb of God. And God had specifically told John the Baptist, now when you see this phenomenon of the Spirit descending and the voice speaking and the dove descending, then you know that that is my Son. And this phenomenon occurred. And John referred to it. And he said, I saw it. And I know that Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. For God spoke out audibly to John and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Jesus came the right way. He was identified by John the Baptist. John the Baptist recognized Him. John the Baptist knew His name, as the Bible teaches us. So to Him the porter openeth. Jesus was identified by John. John wouldn't have identified anyone else. And the sheep hear His voice. Who are these sheep that hear His voice? They are the ones who had believed the preaching of John the Baptist and who had been immersed by John the Baptist. And when Jesus came and was identified by John the Baptist as the Son of God, then those who had repented, who had received immersion, they heard His voice. Look at what happened when Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter heard His voice and he followed Him. Matthew, Mark, all the other apostles and many others, when Jesus said, "I am the Son of God," then they followed Him. They heard Him. They understood who He was. They understood much of what He came to do. So to Him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear His voice. And He calls His own sheep by name. Jesus didn't look at Peter and say, "Hey, you." He gave him a name and said, "From now on you'll be called this." He called all of His people who were believers in Him by name. Now, if you look at this as being called to salvation instead of being called to service, then you look at it the same way that the hyper-Calvinists do. Jesus is simply telling these Pharisees, notice verse 40 of chapter 9, "And some of the Pharisees which were with Him," He's talking to them, "and He said, I am the good shepherd. I have not come by robbing and stealing. I have not come by climbing up some other way. I have come the legitimate route. The porter opened to me. When I cried, He knew who I was and He identified me. The sheep hear my voice. When I spoke, they responded. I called them by name." And He leads them out. What's Jesus doing here? He's leading His sheep. He is the shepherd who is in front of the sheep. "And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goeth before His own sheep. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, and they know His voice." Jesus is saying, "I am the shepherd." Later He'll say, "I am the good shepherd." But here He's saying, "I speak, they listen. I invite, and they come. And I'm in front of them. I am their shepherd. I am leading them out." As we look at these and put it in perhaps a little bit different verbal framework, the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd. That's true. The shepherd goes before them. That He, when it says He leads them out, it means that He leads them out of this fold where they have been kept for the night, leads them out into the green pastures. And there they feed and there they water. And then He brings them back into the fold. They're all named by Him. Sheep literally had a name. The shepherd named His sheep. And He called out to them. And like our working dogs, such as the sheep dogs and the dogs that help the cattle farmers to round up the cattle, these animals knew and recognized their name. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my name, and I know their name. I have given them a name. We have a relationship. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And here's something else. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I am informed principally by reading that whenever the shepherd gave his sheep their own personal name and they learned his voice, then he gave them instructions. He called out to them and they would follow him as he led them through areas that were unfenced with wheat on one side, grain on the other side. They wouldn't break away from his leadership and get into the fields and feed there. They stayed right behind him and followed him. And if in the process the shepherd happened to be away and a stranger came and began to call their name or began to call out instructions, these sheep immediately fled because they understood they were in danger. Jesus said, a stranger will they not follow. Now I can say this, Peter, John, and others, they never followed a false prophet. If you are a person who knows Jesus Christ, not only experientially, but you know Him because you have read in the Old Testament what the Messiah should be. You've read Isaiah 53, and you've read Daniel, and you've read Ezekiel, and you've read the Psalms. Then you read in the New Testament what happened to Jesus. And then in your own intellect, you understand He fulfilled all of the ancient prophecies. And He did come the legitimate path, fulfilling all of these prophecies. And I know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can do all of these things with your intellect. You can know, is Jesus the Christ? Look at the Old Testament. Look at the New Testament. Put them together. Let them make sense. Accept the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. And then with your heart, experientially, cast your sins upon Him and trust Him as your good shepherd. You can do that. That's what these people had done. John had preached about the coming one, and they believed what he said. They were then immersed with reference to the coming one. When the coming one came and said, I am the Son of God, then they heard his voice and they followed him. And he called them by name and they followed him and went in and out. And he went before them, and a stranger's voice they would not hear. Now you can make as much of that as you want for me and you today. It has a great application of truth for us now. There are so many false shepherds out in the world today. They are peddling. They are thieves. They are robbers. In fact, that's what Jesus said in verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we'll look at that perhaps next Sunday. Why be a shepherd? Well, it's either to take care of the sheep and give your life for them if it's necessary, or to take advantage of the circumstance to kill the sheep. And here the word means offer for a sacrifice. Or destroy the sheep. Or steal the sheep and resell them for monetary gain. There are many false shepherds in the world today. And you listen to what they say. And you gauge what they say by this book. And then you will not follow the voice of the stranger. And there's something about taking the book and preaching the truth that when you hear it, there's something that happens. There is a listening. There is a cohesion. There is a like spirit. There's something, and you say, "This is the truth." And you cling to the truth, and you flee to the truth. And that's what happens. Some of you wonder about coming southwest. I pray to God that happens. That there is a familiar voice from this pulpit, whether it's mine or someone else's. And it touches your mind and it touches your heart. And you say, "That is a spokesman for the good shepherd. He is saying the things that ought to be said. He is preaching the things that ought to be preached." And it stirs your heart and it warms your heart and it gives you stimulation because you believe that it is the voice of the true shepherd. They recognize His voice and they flee from a stranger. The Bible tells us that the Pharisees didn't understand Him. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which He spake unto them. Look at Matthew chapter 13, and you'll know why they didn't understand Jesus. And you said, "Brother Penn, is this? Do you believe this?" Absolutely. I believe it with all my heart. Verse 10 of chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Not us. Why do you speak to them in parables? "He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because," now look, "because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, By hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive." Why? "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing." That phrase, "waxed gross," means really obese. They're just too slow in comprehension. They're just so weighted down by other things that it cannot penetrate their intellect. They don't understand. Now, why is this? "And for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed." Who closed their eyes? God didn't. They did. Who closed the eyes of the Pharisees? The Pharisees did. Jesus didn't close their eyes. He's showing them by the healing of the blind man. Jesus doesn't make people blind. What does He do? He heals blind people. Their eyes they have closed. Spiritual ignorance is not God's fault. Spiritual ignorance is not the Holy Spirit's fault. And spiritual ignorance is not the true preacher's fault. Spiritual ignorance is the fault of the people who have so obese hearts and who've closed their own eyes against the brilliant light of the revelation of God. Why do they close their eyes against the light? Notice. "Lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted." If people would take this book for what it says, it would change them dramatically. It would change them drastically. And they don't want to change. So they close their eyes and shut up their ears and do not listen to the true shepherd, but listen to the shepherd who is pursuing them so he can destroy them and sell them and fleece them and eat them. Are you one of His sheep? You say, well, I don't know. I guess back in eternity that was decreed. No, my friend, that isn't so. Do you know who the Son of Man is? You know, the blind man said, well, who is He? When Jesus said, do you believe on the Son of Man? Well, who is He? Do you know who the Son of Man is? He said, yes, I know who the Son of Man is. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Now that you know who the Son of Man is, have you believed into Him? That is, you know He is God's anointed one. He is God's sacrifice. He is God's way of access to Himself. Jesus is the door. Think of that as access. He's the crawl space. And if you want to get to God, Jesus is the crawl space. Now, who is the crawl space? It's Jesus. He's the opening that you have to come through to get to God. And there is no other opening. Now, have you believed into Christ? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ to be to you everything that God has ordained Him to be to you? Sin sacrifice, Savior, Good Shepherd, all these things, Advocate, Mediator, High Priest, God has ordained Jesus to be all these things. Now, will you access God by going through Christ and accepting these things? Do you know who the Son of Man is? And have you believed into Him? And if you have, are you worshiping Him like the blind man did?